Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
I don't blame you for that. But our very first match, stand up to walk up to the tee, and there's, you know, four or five teams standing around, and I'm freaking out. I mean, the only time I really swung a club was at a putt-putt course, and so I'm standing up here, and all eyes are on you, and, you know, you're watching every move. Y'all know when all eyes are on you, and you're like, I can't duke this moment. So, you know, did I tee up too high? Did I tee up too low? For me, it didn't matter, really, where it was teed. So I stand up there, and I act like I know what I'm doing, and I'm approaching the ball, and I got this whole thing happening. And man, I'm going to unload on this thing, right? No easy swing. I'm just going to rip this thing. Because that's what Coach told us. He just said unload. He didn't say swing easy. That's a joke. So anyway, I stand up there, and I come back. I'm going to unload this thing, and I hit about 8 inches behind the ball on the ground. And it goes, oh, it jars my hands. I think I snapped my wrist. And I come up, and as I come through, I just barely nicked the top of that ball, and it rolls off the top of the tee. And I'm looking for it, man. I'm like, oh, no. And everybody's standing around watching, and I don't know what to do. I'm like, Coach, what do I do? Can I tee it up again and hit it again off of the tee? And he's like, no, you got to hit it from there. So I got to pull my tee off. Literally, the ball moved when I pulled my tee because that's how far it went. Pull my tee off. And so I stand up there to hit, and it's impossible to hit a driver for me off of the ground. And so then I go, and I hit it, and it goes, I mean, way out there, 15, 20 yards, all the way out there. And so by the time I get to my third shot, I'm still not even to the women's tees. And I'm looking around like, what am I doing out here? This is embarrassing. Oh, man. But I'll tell you, it all goes back to coaching. That's the problem. So that's my warm welcome to Coach Small. It's good to have you here. Hey, if you would, flip with me to the book of Daniel. Chapter 3. If you're using our Bibles, it's page 627. 627. If you're using Google, it's Daniel chapter 3. We're going to do a series through the month of March, and this is leading up to my brother-in-law and sister-in-law are going to be here on March 24th, and it's Jason and Sarah who have gone through their tragedy the last year and a half, and their kids are going to be here, Caden and Hope as well. And so I want to encourage you to be here for their testimony as they're sharing. We're inviting the community to come out and to hear this, as well as other churches. My dad's church, Harmony, they're going to shut down their service, actually. They're going to be joining us next week, or I'm sorry, in, I guess, 3 weeks for this. And it's going to be also just a time for Jason to share his gratitude to our church family. Many of you have supported financially as they've gone through their hardship. And so just kind of an update on what's going on with them. But we're going to go through the characteristics of God, and that God is all powerful, that God is he's a God of long suffering, that he's a God who's merciful, who's full of grace and compassion, a God who's in the mix with us. He's Emmanuel, who is with us. And so the character and attributes of God is where we're going to go, and it's going to lead up to Jason, that he has seen God's faithfulness in the midst of suffering. So what if I told you that Jesus showed up to planet Earth 600 years before Mary and Joseph were even on the planet? What if I told you that Jesus showed up in the life of Daniel, and that it wasn't through Mary originally? Now, I'm not going to base a whole theology off of this, but we're just going to hear the testimonies of the guards during the time of what was going on during the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar. This is going on approximately 593 BC. All right, so if you're there, is everybody there? We're going to be here. And so here's what's happening is King Nebuchadnezzar, say that name fast three times. You ready? One, two, three. King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar. Man, I knew at some point we all would speak in tongues, and that just happened. Y'all Quakers, you're charismatics and didn't even know it. King Nebuchadnezzar, he calls all the leaders together. He builds this golden image, and he calls the governors and the senators and the counselors, and he calls everybody in, and he basically says, hey, check out this golden image that I just created and made, and it's out of control, it's awesome, and here's what's going to happen whenever we blow the trumpets and the lyres and the bagpipes, and we start getting, when we strike up the band, that means everybody comes, stand in front of this golden image, and we're going to bow down and worship this thing because I just made it. Isn't it fascinating how we create these things and then we've got to worship them? We create something and then we hold it in such high esteem and we put it on a pedestal. Perhaps even the pew that you're sitting in, great granddaddy sat there. And so now it's this, we hold certain things up in life. And so he holds this thing up. He created something and now it's something that we're going to worship. And so when we strike up the band, we want everybody to show up and we're going to worship something. And so he's calling the whole town, the whole community to do this. And if you don't do this, he says, then there's going to be a fiery furnace that's going to be created for you and you're going to be thrown into the furnace. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 2, it tells the story of during the time they were looking for young men. And it kind of lays out the requirements that they were skilled in labor, that they were well-read, they were skilled in both books and in life, that they were sharp and good-looking and healthy, and they had the ability to understand the language of the Chaldeans or the Babylonians as well as to serve in the king's palace. And so we see a group of young men, they basically were like kingdom interns that are coming up through the ranks, Daniel being one of them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego being another one. Anybody remember that story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in grade school or in Sunday school? And I just loved trying to say those names. That was just a lot of fun. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are the three guys that we're going to focus in on here in just a little bit. If you don't worship this thing, then you're going to be tossed into the fire. The very first point I want to come with you this morning is we go through persecution. And as we talk about who this person of Jesus is, Alex, you got me? Brother, we're going to go to persecution here on this first one. And right out of the gate, we see that we could live in a country. No, no go? Andrew, you able to check that out? We go through times whenever perhaps our faith can get questioned or we can get put into a corner with our faith. Let me even go a little bit more personal and not just general, but perhaps even in your own family, in your own marriage, perhaps husband, wife, unequally yoked. Maybe even it's not just faith, maybe it's leadership style. I just don't respect you or I don't want to be a part of this leadership style that you're bringing or I just don't like your attitude. And what can happen is we can get squeezed out. We no longer have a seat at the table. And here's what is happening to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is he's calling them in to worship and they won't worship. And we're seeing persecution take place. So the report comes back that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are not going to bow down because they are just caught up with who God is and that they're lovers of Jesus. And the word comes back to King Nebuchadnezzar. And he calls him in and he says, hey, I told you, when I strike up the band, when I've got 12 drummers drumming and 11 pipers piping and 10 lords a-leaping and 9 ladies dancing and 8 swans a-swimming, 7 geese a-laying, 6 golden, 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, 3 French hens, 2 calling birds, and a partridge in a pear tree, when all that happens, it just happened. And you guys aren't here to worship. Why aren't you here? We just did this whole thing, and so he says, hey, if you're not going to do it, then you're going to be thrown into this fiery furnace. And they said, King, we're not going to worship. We're caught up with something else. Whenever maybe business could go a little bit shady and a little sideways, and they're saying, hey, why don't you just kind of cut this deal? Why don't you just look the other way? Why don't you, how about we do like some lack of integrity business deals? And these guys said, no, man, I'm just entranced. I've had encounters with God, and there's this way that I'm going to live my life. And here's where we're going with this, is does God show up in these times whenever we seem like everybody else is out to get us? Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, and they said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. It is, if this is to be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and we will... And he will deliver us out of your hand. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. he ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it usually was heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men who were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's orders were urgent and the furnace overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the fiery furnace. We see this picture here out of the gate, and it is intense. There's such anger and such intensity over the way that these guys want to live. You ever lived your life in such a way that people just hate you? You ever lived in such a way that you're like, I'm just trying to serve, I'm just trying to lead, I'm trying to volunteer, I'm trying to love my family, I'm trying to work my job, and there's just vehement hate coming at you because there's a way in which you want to follow the Lord. Can I just encourage this, that God knows the frustrations. He knows the failings. He knows your furnace. He knows what you're walking through. He knows the flames. He knows the fire that's going on around you. And he hasn't left you. He hasn't forsaken you. But God is in the midst of the furnace with us. He is an all-powerful God who shows up even in the midst of it all. I read a book by Bob Sorge. It's called Pain, Perplexity, and Promotion. And it tells the story about the man by the name of Job. Anybody familiar with that story? A man who seemingly is doing it all right. It says that he's righteous in the eyes of the Lord and wipes out his kids, his barns, all of his animals, all of his property. Y'all remember the story of Joseph. He's the favored son and his life completely wiped out. We see people who are following Jesus and they end up being martyrs. We see those that are giving their all to us. We see disciples and then the storm of life comes around. And here's the cool part of all of those stories is whenever we jump ship, middle story, we're not able to see the miracles of Jesus come to pass. Had Job took the advice of his wife and just cursed God and died, Had Joseph said, I'm sold into slavery, there's nothing else I can do, might as well just end it all here. Had the disciples said, oh my gosh, the ship is going over, let's jump ship and let's literally jump ship and get out of here. Not realizing that Jesus is in the boat with you. He's in the midst of it all with you, and everything in life gets restored to Job. And Joseph goes from the prison to the palace, and we see that the disciples are those that found the church. And it's pain that I'll tell you, pain is part of the path. It just is. Pain is part of this whole thing. And even as John was sharing, and it just messes me up and it breaks my heart. It seems like, man, if I'm going to be a follower of Jesus, I'm going to be a missionary, and I'm not saying that A plus B equals C, but sometimes pain just comes with it, and we've got to see, is Jesus going to jump in the furnace with us? Is he going to be in the midst of all of the flames that come around our life? And let's not jump story in the middle of it, because he's good, and he's faithful. Man, even as we were talking about our bracelets here, we just challenged our men as far as living through hardships. And instead of just, it looks like the grass would be greener to go somewhere else. I don't want to be in this marriage anymore. It's just too tough. I don't want to do this, whatever this is, this job, provide for these people, do this anymore. I'm just going to leave. And we think that exiting is the better man thing that they do than to stick in it. And we talked about there's no really more platforms for initiation of men to train them through pain. That the best way to train a warrior is in war. It's not to read a book about it. It's not to look through the manual. It's to get in it and to work through it and through initiation. And we tell the story and why we got these axe bracelets is for this. There was the group of Aborigines that would give their little boys a small axe and they would send them out into the wilderness. And they had to kill a wild beast and drag it back to the camp. And whenever they finally got back to camp, all of the men of the village would come out and they would celebrate these young men. And they would dance and they would throw mud on each other and they'd have a fire and they would dance around the fire together. And the young men felt like they were a part of it. Either you don't come back or you come back alive with some sort of a creature. with this little axe. And that was your initiation into manhood. And then what they gave him was a large axe. And every young man was given this large axe if they came back. And the, I don't know, it was the Scottish or the Irish comes in, they see what's going on with the Aborigines. Like, that's kind of cool. And they handed all of their young men large axes without having to go through initiation. And here's the thing is sometimes walking through the fire, fire has the ability to purify the gold. It can burn up all of the dross within you. It has the ability to burn up all of the imperfections and impurities. Malachi chapter 3 actually says, God is like a refiner's fire, purifying his saints like silver and gold. And so in the midst of the flames and in the midst of the fire, what can happen? It talks about the Irish and the Scottish over the course of time that they no longer had the will to fight because they were entitled. I was born. I deserve a large axe. I don't have to work for it. Hey, I don't have to try out for the team. I should be on the team. I don't have to go to extra practices. We all get eighth place trophies. We don't have to win anything. We don't have to do anything. We just always are winners. And we never went through any hardships that tested us to prove something in us. Y'all with me? I could go there. I don't want to. Oh, I don't want to go there. Principal Mann is in the building, and he's grading my coaching paper right now. I don't want to do that. There's something of endurance that an all-powerful God wants to bring us through, and we think that he's all-powerful, therefore he'll alleviate us from pain. He's the great physician, so he'll take away sickness and he'll take away disease. If God really loved me, then this, this, and this. He's a genie in the bottle, right? I get to rub him. He pops out and he gives me three wishes. A wish for perfect health, all my family safe, and I want $1 million. That's Jesus, right? He's a genie. He grants all of my wishes, not realizing he wants to walk me through some stuff to produce the character and the life of Christ. I think it's a lot deeper than what we just like to play at the surface level. He wants to get down deep into us. The next one is pain. The next P is pain is part of it. Coach Brad Stevens, who was here at Butler, who now is part of, who now coaches the Boston Celtics, he says this. He says, pain is part of the path. And it just is. If you want to be a champion, you want to be an overcomer, it's not that you alleviate pain, it's that you drive through it. This last week was sectional week for us, and we get very first draw out of the gate, we get number 3 Tipton. And we're thinking, oh my gosh, you know, we're facing them right out of the gate. And there was something in us that said, yeah, let's go. Let's go after Goliath right out of the gate. We played some of our best basketball right out of the gate, knocked off Tipton, beat him by 3 in the opening round of the sectional. It was awesome. And I'll tell you, it was like this rallying point. It was like, yeah, we're in it. Together we're going to go. We play Eastbrook in the next round. Man, we just crush him and destroy him. Yeah, okay, we're going to the sectional championship, which was last night. Man, talk about a totally different reality. We go from overcoming crazy odds to not even showing up. We lost by 30 last night. You know what? You know what proved? I'll tell you, the furnace exposes you. Good or bad. The furnace, the fire, is going to bubble up to the top. Either all of the crud and the dross of gold, or it's going to purify gold. Whether in players, whether in our crowd, you see the good, the bad, and the very ugly come out when the furnace gets a little hot. It can divide friends and it can unite foes. It's a rally point. We got to stick together. It's all hell is breaking loose. I hate you. The furnace, man. And many times we despise the very thing that produces the life of Christ. Get me out of the furnace. I don't want to be in these flames anymore. Man, I should have just bowed. I should have just bowed to the golden idol. It's a little hot in here. Man, it's getting hot. It's 7 times hotter in here. The guards that were throwing me in, it was so hot that the guards died on the spot. They dropped. That's hot. The pain that comes with this stuff. Verse 24. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished. And he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire? They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see four men unbound walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." He had it confused. It was the Son of God who showed up on the scene in the midst of the hardship, in the midst of that marriage, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the financial crash, in the midst of the economics, in the midst of the accusing, in the midst of the arguments, in the midst of all the frustration, in the midst of the sickness, in the midst of the cancer, in the midst of everything that's just coming at us and breaking us down. It looks like he's walking with the Son of God. What is going on with these three? Man, they've got something else on them. There's something else different. Everybody else around them's freaking out and dropping like flies. They all die. But he just keeps moving on. What is it about this? The next one is perplexity. We see, man, maybe we get a little confused and we're asking questions. Just recently this week, I was at two different nursing homes, and at one place I'm sitting down with the administrator, and I had done what we call a culture audit. I get to interview the staff. Hey, what's the culture, the work environment, what's our employee relationships like? Do we love each other? Are we on the love boat or are we on the battleship? What's it like what's going on around here? So I get all this feedback, and then I give this report to the administrator, and then we just kind of double down on how we can bring life to the staff. That's what we do. And so it's the end of the day, and I'm a couple of hours from home. I just want to get home. So I go into the administrator's office, not in there. I'm like, good, I can leave. So I write just a quick note, like, hey, I'm cheering for you. I'm in your corner. Man, we're going to get through this. And I walk in to set that on their desk, and they're in there. And I'm like, oh, bummer. So I'm like, hey, I just wrote you this note. Just want to encourage you. I'm going to scoot. So it was just great being here. I'm going to follow up with you. And instead of saying, great, I'll read this later, sit without saying a word, sits down, reads this, and loses it, starts crying. Oh, you don't understand, and just comes with it. And I'm like, not a good time for this right now. I know this matters to you, not to me. I got to go. And I sit with them for the next 2 hours as they pour out their heart and everywhere. And it's trust me, it's not the J-O-B. It is life. It is marriage. It is this. And telling the story of my son and daughter-in-law, and they were planning for they got married, and they got their jobs, and they got all of life set and situated, and she gets pregnant, and they moved into their new home. They got the nursery all set, and it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. And she goes to deliver, and as she's getting ready to deliver, the cord gets wrapped around the baby's neck and suffocates and is dead. And she delivers her dead baby and just loses it. Crying, and like flips a switch, and she goes, and why would God do that? Woo. Goes on, and the job, and it's so demanding, and the extra phone calls, and this and that, and my husband doesn't understand. He doesn't get the weight and the pressure, and this and this, and it's just not good at home. And then like she flipped a switch, and she goes, and I don't even care anymore. I'm not even sad, I'm just mad. Ooh, it got hot in that furnace real quick. Was sitting with another administrator and was sitting with her HR actually and was just kind of sharing. And part of the HR, right, is we should know our people and we should know this and this and this about them. And part of HR is, if you've ever been in HR, you are part psychiatrist and part firefighter. That's your job. And so just sharing this, and I just don't feel appreciated, and I don't feel this, and I just kind of felt the Holy Spirit come upon me. How many of y'all know you can feel the Holy Spirit come upon you in the boardroom, in the wherever you work room, in the wherever you're at? I was like, the issue is not the issue. And I said, how long have you felt like this, where you just kind of go back and turn it in on yourself, and I don't feel appreciated, and I don't this, and I don't that? She says, since I was a kid, I was never loved, and this, and this happened to me when I was 10. And then I was in a marriage that didn't work, and I'm with another guy, and I'm this, and this, and all these different kids that I've got from different baby daddies, and it just goes on. And pours out her heart and her life. People, can I just encourage you in this? The way that Jesus jumps in the furnace today is through you. You, me. There's a furnace going on around every single person. And that God is calling them to make a stand in their family, to make a stand in their life, to do something with their life that maybe would be radical, even in the face of the king, even in the face of the world system, and to jump in there and to encourage their hearts and lift their heads. And so we pray together, and we're holding hands, and we're wiping our tears and saying, come on, girl, fix your makeup. Let's put our big girl pants on. Come on, let's go after this thing and encourage and lift them. But there's a furnace going on, and perhaps you're in the midst of one and need somebody to dive into that furnace with you. Perhaps there's furnaces going on around you that you need to dive in with somebody else. But I'll tell you, it's not a time for us to sit back and to be idle. It's a time for us to engage. And the furnace exposes either the good, the bad, or the very ugly in all of us. I'm going to wrap here with this. The next one that we see is protection. We see that he provides protection in the midst of it all. Isn't it wild as it goes on here in the scripture, and it says that King Nebuchadnezzar calls the guys out. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what is going on? Come on out here. And as it says that they walked out, not a hair on their head was singed, and they didn't smell like smoke. Can I just tell you, church, you can be in the fire and come out not even smelling like smoke. You can be in the midst of a test and come out looking more pretty, more beautiful than you ever did before you went in. That you can come out radiant because you've got an all-powerful God that's on your side. He's for you. He's not against you. You are an overcomer because the life of Christ is in you. The very same power, it says, that raised Christ from the dead now dwells within your mortal bodies. There's nothing that's impossible for God. And so whatever that furnace is, stick with it. Invite Jesus to be in that furnace with you because he's good and he is faithful. And the last P of it all is that he is powerful. This is a God that is on our side. This is a God who has not forgotten you. He didn't put you in a marriage to leave you there. He wants to walk it out in the midst of that covenant. He wants to prove his faithfulness, that he is ferociously faithful. He's more ferocious than the fire that you think that you're walking in. So let's not give more credit to the enemy. Let's lean in on Jesus because he is faithful to deliver us. Amen, church. Would you all stand with me as we close this morning? We're going to pray for some of you that you get the flames around you and you're going to come out looking pretty. You're going to come out shining. You're going to come out as pure gold and shine, baby, shine. He wants to burn up the stuff in us. He wants to burn up the ugly and the bad, and he wants us to get to be radiating like his son. God, we thank you that your character is that you're faithful, that you're powerful, that you're consistent. Jesus, we thank you that you're not one to leave us. No, you said, lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end. Jesus, we thank you that you are trustworthy, that we can bank on your words. We thank you for your character, God, that it is yes and amen, that you will not leave us. You will not forsake us. Lord, I pray that you would encourage the hearts of those that are in the midst of it right now. Lord, I pray that you would activate our church body, that we would dive in the furnace with others. And Jesus, that we would see the breakthrough and the miracles because of your goodness. In your name we pray. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.